Can you imagine? We've got Sam Elliott, Seth Rogen, and Marissa Tomei on the same podcast.
I would listen to that podcast.
The fucking,
for sure.
Yeah. I mean, the Aldi brand version of all three. For sure. Sorry, new friend. AA Ron, no offense.
Are you Aldi Marissa Tomei? That's very hot.
Thank you. Yeah, I am an
that's
young...
very hot and potentially within reach.
Yeah. All the quality of store brand, but at a cost you can achieve.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to get us started here. Welcome to The Worst Week Yet, the least informed podcast on the left. It's a podcast where every week we struggle to comprehend how much tragedy, despair, and chaos 7 simple days can unleash upon us. And then we try to get a little goofy with it. I'm your host, Andrew Hillary, and I am joined once again by my longtime friend, most time co-host, Deanna Mackey. What's up, buddy?
Nothing. I'm a little nervous about today because... So last week I said that I'm funny because I don't consume the news as news. Like, I receive the news from Andrew on the podcast and that allows me to joke about it. But I did.
You looked ahead.
Yeah, I cheated. I read the answer key. And so now I am pre-upset by this information. Yeah. I didn't write any pre-jokes, but I did pre-cry about the topics.
Oh, yeah. It's not going to be a good one, but I'm glad you're here, Deanna. Joining the two of us is our new friend. You may know him from his former podcast, Mormon and the Method. He's a stand-up comedian, once named one of Conan O'Brien's comics to watch. Please welcome Aaron Woodall to the podcast. Hello.
Hi. Thank you. I also am nervous about today. It was so long ago when I talked to Andrew about being on the podcast, and he was like, we don't have availability till like May 29th. And I was like, sure, that's an age away. Who cares? And then he messaged me like a couple of days ago and was like, hey, it's now. Now it's time. You're going to do it Sunday. And of all the weeks to do weekly news podcast, this has got to be the worst fucking luck.
Well, here's the thing, and we have some horrific news about a school shooting we will be getting to. I know you are a parent, so like part of me was like, you know, maybe you'd want to reschedule, maybe come on another week. But then I was like, there's like really no guarantee that there will be a week in this country where there won't be a bunch of kids getting murdered in a school. I'm like, okay,
like before
we can pick any week and there's a pretty high chance something horrific's going to happen.
Right. Like before we started, I said we either lead with dead kids or dead parents. And like the fact that week after week we have that.
Yeah.
There was going to be no week. This week is your week.
Every week is the worst week yet. All right, Deanna, before we get to the news, are you ready for this? Are you ready?
The most important part of the show.
The most important part of the show is the part where we plug our Patreon. This is a listener-funded show. We get money to do this. It's not much, but it is appreciated.
And it is... I don't.
Well, Kennedy does. Did I tell you I'm paying Kennedy for the Patreon?
No.
I offered them the same amount as you, and they accepted. So, yeah. Look, subscribe to the Patreon so I can pay both Deanna and Kennedy. We need money flowing in, folks. We're going to buy a boat.
I'm not. I'm going to buy a whale.
You understand that one later. So
I'm going to train an attack whale.
I could be an attack whale. Did I tell you that I got a call from the doctor about my blood work and they were like, dude, you're going to die?
No.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I didn't even tell. Yeah. So this is.
Anyways, Patreon.
This is going to be a much longer ad than anticipated. So the doctors called me and they're like, hey, you have like way higher cholesterol and lipids and you have like poor liver function, like for somebody your age. And I was like, oh, sick. Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that I eat fast food like 8 times a week? And they're like, yeah. So I am
in a shocking turn of events, yeah, taking zero care of your body, almost like the planet. They called you up. The UN of doctors got together and they were like, the levels.
Yeah. So I haven't eaten fast food in like 4 or 5 days. I haven't eaten, like, I've been trying to
I have to like eat red meat like once a week and like no fast food almost. And that is basically, I eat red meat almost every day. I'm a fucking American. Okay. Like I eat, I usually cook it with a gun and I eat it every day. So yeah, I've been changing up my diet and it feels weird, but anyways, this show is listener funded. You can help support me by more healthy food, and less guns by going to patreon.com/worstweekyet. And if you subscribe, I'll send you stickers in the mail. You get bonus episodes. Right now, Kennedy and I are doing a bonus breakdown of the Amazon show The Boys. That's been going fun. But listeners, if you subscribe at the $10 a month level, you get your name read by me as a special thank you. So what are you making that face at me for, Deanna?
Nothing. I just look like this sometimes.
I thought you were like watching my cholesterol go up actively. It's like, no. It's like global warming where like, even though I have stopped eating fast food, it takes like a long time to like fully process through. So I'm still seeing rising cholesterol from a Big Mac that I ate a month ago.
That's it. You really are a metaphor for the planet.
check me out as I do a global societal collapse.
You have been collapsing for literal years. Actually, over the last decade, the only thing that's been more aggressively moving towards collapse than the planet is you.
Fuck,
like,
dude.
It's you.
Yeah, I can't deny it. So big thank you to AJ from Baltimore, Zap Actions Downer, Patrick Leave Me Alone, Herman Kane, Amanda Pucci, Josh Troopin, and our good buddy, CIA Brainbugs.
We love to see it.
We love to CIA Brainbugs it. Go to patreon.com/worstweekyet. Give us money. We'll do the show. Thank you. Now back to the news. Why don't we just get into it? Listeners, we're just going to talk about this right off the top. I promise there is some fun stuff later, but we got to talk about this shooting in Uvalde, Texas. So I want to break this down into a few things because there's been a lot of confusing news, a lot of stories that don't line up. So I just want to first talk about what we know for sure. First of all, there were 19 kids and 2 adults died. They were all in the same classroom. We know that the shooter legally bought his gun. He was just allowed to go and buy one after his 18th birthday. We know he was inside the school for about an hour while police were on the scene before he was shot and killed. There were at least 19 cops outside of this classroom for about 35 minutes.
There was
anybody
one
entered.
Cop for every person who died.
Yeah,
we were operating at a 1-to-1 ratio of cops to murder victims.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's just simple math.
Sick.
And there were parents that had gathered outside of the school that were met by police who had not yet moved in. And some of those parents were put into handcuffs and restrained and threatened with tasers. And lastly, one thing that we know for sure is that the city of Uvalde spends 40% of its budget on the police.
Wait, stop.
Okay.
Question.
Answer.
I don't know. So, so you're telling me that the people that are supposed to be like by profession, the good guys with the gun weren't doing anything. And then when like vigilante, just dad guys with a gun showed up, without guns, the parents didn't have
they were willing to go inside anyway. What, you know,
I just assumed like it was Texas. Some of those people maybe had a gun.
Maybe,
but like, so the good guys with guns chained up the other good guys and nobody went after the bad guy. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Cool. Okay. I'm all caught up. Go on.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the problem is that like there was initial reports that like turned out to not be true. And there's been so many of these and like every day the story seems to be getting worse. Like initially the cops said that there was like a student or a student resource officer on the scene when the shooter arrived. And there was like a shootout before the kid entered the school. And, you know, like a cop tried to shoot at him before he got in. And that was just a fucking lie. Like there wasn't there are police employed by the school district, but apparently there was no exchange of gunfire. The kid just walked right into the fucking school.
that he didn't shoot anybody before he went in? I thought he was shooting at people that were outside before you went into the school.
He shot at some people that were leaving a funeral home across the street. But
that's convenient.
And this is like my biggest problem is that there's now been so much conflicting information that like, I don't even know how to tell what's real because the only like sources for this information are the police that fucked this up. So
and
like,
lie.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope that maybe this will bring more national attention to the practice of the press reporting whatever the cops tell them. This is a problem everywhere all the time. The cops get to control the narrative from the start because they get to send out their press release and tell them exactly what they would like the press to relay to the world. And then the press is like, yeah, sure, we'll do it. What'd you say? Someone died in an officer involved shooting, and it's like an officer killed his family, you know? And you're like, all right, I guess we'll write it. However,
victims were found with mysterious bullet holes, and an officer nearby with a smoking gun said he isn't sure what happened. Like,
yeah,
every fucking time.
Said that he barricaded the door. And then when pressed on it, they were like, all right, by barricade, we did mean he shut the door. And
he closed it.
He closed the door.
They're like, it was locked. And I was like, Breonna Taylor's door was locked. You guys are fine at knocking down locked doors, I thought. I thought you guys had stuff to knock down doors. Like, that's why you had it. Knock down the door. What do you mean? You're getting a key?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, we had to file some paperwork with the school district to be able to open the door. Like, I did a more effective job of barricading a door when I was like trying to sneak out my bedroom window in high school than this fucking bad guy with a gun just did.
Yeah. And there were initial reports that there had been children in multiple classrooms shot. And of course, we know that now all of the kids that were killed were in just this one classroom. The police were in the hallway. Like I said, there was 19 of them, and they were like just standing around with their thumbs up their ass because they were scared to get shot, which I understand it's a human emotion, but like you literally sign up to this job. Like cops sign up because they want to be fucking heroes.
Right. I'm also scared to get shot. That's why I'm a hairdresser.
Yeah. I mean, I get like,
is there anything yet on like, how long it took him to kill everyone in the classroom. Like when the cops got there, is everyone already dead and he's alone in a room and they're like, we'll just get a key.
There isn't any official timeline, but I do have some information about that. Now, when the Texas head of the Department of Public Safety was like, that's the person that's been going out and giving the breakdown and contradicting himself all the time. Initially, he said that the reason officers did not enter the classroom sooner, did not kick down the door, is because they had assumed everyone inside was already dead, which meant that they were no longer in a hostage situation, but just in a everybody's dead, like, we'll just wait and get him out whenever we can.
Nobody was going to check.
Now, here's the thing. This has already been contradicted because there were students in the classroom that were calling 911 after the police had, like, made this call not to breach the door. There were kids
in that classroom they were making the calls?
In that
classroom. Not just somewhere else in the school?
In that classroom. There was, at one point, and this is, I think, one of the most horrifying details, the police were outside, and they got the bright idea, oh, we'll ask and see if anybody's still alive in there. And they said, hey, does anyone in there need help? And a little girl spoke up and said yes, and the shooter then shot her. This is what the fucking police do. Now, after Columbine, there was like a national precedent set that like, if there is a shooter, you take them down no matter what. You do not wait. You do not figure out a plan. If there's an active shooter, you take them down as soon as possible. So they were actively going against the protocol by, you know, trying to figure this out. You know, we've heard stories of one little boy, or I'm sorry, I think it was a little girl, smeared herself in her best friend's blood and played dead because the cops were standing outside while the shooter was still inside. And she was alive, and she, like, it's fucking horrifying.
I mean, there were stories like that also when Columbine happened. I feel like there was definitely someone that, like, pretended that they were already dead, I think, in the library.
Yeah.
Avoid getting shot. But what has struck me about this is when Columbine happened, I remember this sensation of like, this is a horrible and should have been preventable tragedy, and nothing like this can ever happen again, and nothing like this will ever happen again. And rather than that, like guiding any preventative measures, it really just kind of fell by the wayside. Like all that came out of it was this notion of if there's an active shooter, just shoot them. But that's still reactive and not proactive. And the juxtaposition of the reaction when it was Columbine, which was kind of the first one, versus now when it's like, it feels like it's once a week, just is shocking. And the fact that we thought then, like, this can never happen again. And now it happens all the fucking time. It's almost like instead of Columbine being a cautionary tale, it almost like established an archetype.
Yeah.
For school shootings, which is fucking wild.
And that's something else that I heard somebody talking about is that, you know, they've done a lot, you know, how we used to have fire drills in schools, or like some people had tornado drills in schools. Now they do active shooter drills. But the thing is that these shooters are like, a lot of them are fucking like 18 years old, which means they have done the active shooter drill, which means they know what to expect and can act on it.
Casing the joint, yeah. Essentially.
Like, we teach the active shooters, or we teach the future active shooters exactly how to get the most out of it. Like, that is the solution we've come up with. Since Columbine, we have hired over 10,000 school police officers, and they haven't stopped a single school shooting from happening. There's never been a shooting that was stopped by the police officer who was on duty at the school. However, there have been hundreds of thousands of students, mostly black and brown kids, that were arrested for minor infractions.
Love that for us, for all of us. There's also this like incredibly bad take going around, just speaking of the active shooter drills. Mm-hmm. Like, there's this incredibly bad take going around that like more teachers need to have guns. And
well, I mean, the teachers are the grooming pedophile critical race theory people. We don't want to give them guns. That can't be right.
Somebody wants to give them guns. You know what? So many of the critical race theory grooming pedophile people already have guns that I think
Let them be the teachers. Yeah. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
No, but I think about like the people I know that are teachers, and my sister is an elementary school teacher. Like, she loves using her Cricut machine to like create decorative like classroom boards to inspire children about music. She's not a person who wants or needs or would be comfortable wielding a gun.
Yeah.
Also, like, the solution to school shootings is not bringing more guns into the school. Like, imagine, like, at least right now, a school shooting is a BYOG, but like, you could come to school with no gun. And like, what, the guns are already there?
Yeah.
Wild.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past like an 18-year-old kid to be able to take down a 65-year-old teacher
also,
and get their gun.
Like, also, if we could figure out how to get answer keys to tests, they could figure out how to get the guns.
That would be the senior prank in every school, is they steal all the teachers' guns.
That's what this is. It was actually an elaborate senior prank.
Oh, boy. Well, he did at age, Got him. At age 14, this shooter did get in trouble because he said whenever he graduated his senior year, he was going to shoot up a school. And he was still allowed to buy a gun. Isn't that freedom?
But I can't buy a gun because I use medical marijuana.
Oh, that one, I understand.
That's really, you can't buy a gun if you use medical marijuana?
Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So,
I want to say about the active shooter drills, man. I was reading about kids talking about the drills that they do at school, mm-hmm. just very nonchalantly, very casual to them, because that's how kids are. They're very, they adapt, they take whatever you give them as like, all right, this is reality, it's no big deal. And but still, it was like very unsettling to me, and to think about how these kids are just like just kind of like the way that we would be like, you know, if there was ever a fire, this is where we'd go. And they're just like, you know, if one of our classmates ever comes here one day and starts mowing us down with an assault rifle, then this is what we do. And I just couldn't help but think about like a year ago, there were parents screaming at city council meetings about how masks were going to traumatize their kids. Like it was going to scar them. This is going to affect them psychologically wearing this mask. And I was like, I don't know. I don't think that's a big deal to the kids. I see these kids every day. They're great at wearing masks. That doesn't seem to bother them, but I would like those same parents to come and like scream and worry about what the psychological damage these shooter drills going to have on their kids.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
and here's the other like element of that is that in a really grotesque way, it also normalizes it. Like a building fire. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Like earthquakes are things that we can't control. Right. That's like, it might happen. You got to be ready, but to treat the shooters the same way does, it makes it like, oh, it's just a thing that, you know, we have no control over.
There's
it might
nothing
happen.
We
so
could have
be ready
done
for
about
it.
This ahead of time.
Uh-huh.
I think that like, you know, I'm very cynical when it comes to this. I think that is unfortunately kind of the truth, but the problem is that nobody admits that. Like, I always say that, like, I'm not necessarily anti-guns. Like, I'm not saying the government needs to confiscate guns. I'm not saying we need to lock more people up for having guns, because I know the majority of it'll be black and brown people. But, like, the reality is, at least in my opinion, if there is access to guns, there are just going to be shootings. Like, there is no way to control that for that not to happen. Like, if we have guns, this is literally what it costs us as a country to have guns. And, like, politicians say, like, oh, we have to do something. They're lying. They know that this is not a problem that can be controlled from any other angle. If there is access to guns, people are just going to die in random places, and that's there's no way to stop it. Like,
yeah, and like, a lot of people are like okay with that. I was talking to my dad about abortion, and I was arguing that I don't think most people that get an abortion are like excited about it. There's a lot of people that were planning on having, like, we were talking about, like, I was saying, like, I believe, like, you can't outlaw late-term abortion because there are problems that occur that, like, they have to save the mother's life, and so they do it. And, like, that mother had, like, a crib already, had, like, a room painted, and you're going to, like, what, criminally prosecute? She didn't want to do it, you know? And he was like, yeah, but if it's not, but, like, I just worry about, like, somebody doing it, like, for evil. And I was like, yeah, okay, I guess, like, somebody might, but,
okay,
like,
but
you would do this with shootings. You say, like, hey, with the price for our gun freedom is that, like, sometimes there's going to be a shooting, and you're, like, okay paying that price. So, like, why wouldn't you be okay for the life of one kid? Be like, you know, sometimes someone's going to kill that kid. You just, whatever.
Yo.
But when it's 19 kids in a school, you're like, you know, that's the price we pay.
Let me get your dad's number after this, because he's got me fucked up. Because here's the thing. I talk to, so I am a hairdresser, and I talk to women pretty much all day long for the larger portion of my day and for the last 12 years. And over that time, I have heard so many stories about pregnancy, about loss of pregnancy, about voluntary or involuntary termination of pregnancy, like so many things, but like, the implication that somebody would get pregnant for the express purpose of having an abortion is so fucking bread bag, twist tie, knotted up that I can't even fucking work around it. Because, like, it discounts it discounts the physical burden that being pregnant puts on a woman's body in a way that is so egregious that I cannot help to wonder how your dad has lived as long as he has with being so much of a fucking moron. Like, being pregnant,
next week for
fuck
our guest.
Your fucking dad. Fuck your dad. Being pregnant is a miserable fucking experience. Being pregnant is hard from fucking jump, and nobody would do that shit for the express purpose of terminating it. I don't know anyone. I know people who have terminated a pregnancy and felt relief, but nobody that I have ever met who has terminated a pregnancy, and I know many people, nobody has ever done it and felt fucking joy. Fuck your dad and fuck anyone who agrees with him. Sorry, I'm so mad. Sorry, Aaron.
Tune in next week for our guest, Aaron's dad. He's going to debate the
enemy of the podcast. I will yell at your dad in person.
So yeah, I don't know. There's you know, more to find out about this story. There's, you know, it's just, it's like nonstop fucking horrific shit. I will say there's been, some really awful responses. You know, obviously we've had the typical like, oh, mental health, oh, more God in schools. That happens every fucking time. One thing that a lot of people were saying this with this shooting is there needs to be only one door in and one door out of schools, which is fucking insane because, you know, nobody expects there to be a mass shooter at a school.
Except for all the schools doing a fucking active shooter drill. So.
Like, I'm saying, like, nobody expects their school. It is as horrifying as it is. It's like a one in a million chance still. So, like, nobody's ever ready for it when it happens. So if there is only one well-armed, guarded entrance and the shooter just takes out the fucking guard, then there is no other way to get into that school other than that one entrance, which means it's much harder to take down the shooter if they get in. It's like, that can't... You can't make it so that there's a trap, because if the shooter gets past that trap, then all the other people that could stop them are on the other side of the trap.
Also,
it's fucking insane.
As we've learned today, just closing a door is enough to keep, you know, a dozen and a half cops out. So, like, all the shooter would have to do is just... He doesn't even have to take the security guard down. He just has to get the security guard to close the door, you know, and then it's barricaded and no one can come in.
Yeah, I will say, though, the worst response that I saw from this was literally the very next day after the shooting. Somebody found one of the parents of one of the murdered 9-year-olds' Facebook accounts and saw that they had posted something in support of Kyle Rittenhouse. Now, obviously, we are a Fuck Kyle Rittenhouse podcast, you know, this person like found this and shared it. Like, look at this motherfucker. This is exactly what you get whenever you support gun rights or whatever. This person used a grieving parent's bad politics as like this fucking gotcha, this own on Twitter. And that is the most, I don't care if somebody's a fucking Nazi. I don't think they deserve to have their 9-year-old murdered for their beliefs. That was the thing that like really, that's the most disgusting take I saw on this. You know, for all the Ted Cruz being a fucking grimy bastard, like this person like literally reveling in the fact that a Trump supporter's kid got murdered because it's a fucking small town in Texas. Of course there's going to be fucking people that like guns. Like, that doesn't mean they deserve to have their children fucking murdered. I feel like there's no hope for.
Yeah, that's
us.
Actually so revolting. Wow, I hate it. They're on the fuck you list as well. Hey, if you're the person that tweeted that, let me get your phone number so I can also call you and say fuck you.
You're going to be making a lot of calls this week, Deanna.
I'm going to be very busy with
calls. So anyways, Aaron, welcome to the show.
Aaron's like, I'm not saying anything else because that lady just lost her mind.
So, yeah. I don't know. Do you have anything else to say? We can move on if you're okay with that.
No, this shit sucks, man. And I didn't want, this is what I was afraid of. Like, I don't have anything funny to say about this. I think that, it's really, I was working that day and I got, done and I was like going off set and I looked at my phone for the first time and saw this news and then, like my heart started sinking and, I started feeling like this panic and for most of this week, I've tried to avoid the news. I uninstalled Twitter because I was like just doom scrolling and just reading depressing thing after depressing thing. And I just have a son that's the age of these kids, and I just can't imagine. Like, I think about my son dying. I think every parent, like, you know, is you're just worried. Like, what if he a truck runs him over? But like, when I take him to school, I expect to pick him up from school, and I can't imagine taking my kid to school and then never getting to touch them again, never getting to hold them ever again. That there's just done. And then I can't imagine like, maybe there was a chance that they could have been saved, and I was outside the school, and he was inside the school, and he was scared, and he was hiding, and he was putting other people's blood on his body, and or he was wounded, and like, he could have used medical attention, or he was just scared and he needed somebody. And I can't imagine being outside, and like, I can't imagine police officers that pretend to be brave, that like just are just going to stand around and not do anything. But then I really can't imagine them stopping me. Like, if you're going to stay outside, okay, that's your choice. You're you're a huge fucking coward. But like, you're going to stop me? To see parents being put to the ground because that's a person that they can exercise authority on, and they don't have any fear about in this situation. Like, I'll exercise a hell of a lot of authority now on this parent who just was like, I'll go inside. Let me jump over the fence. I don't have a gun. I don't have a vest. I don't have anything, but I'll jump over the fence because I'm going to go get my fucking kid out. And to just have somebody stop me, I feel like I'd go insane. It would have been hell, torturous experience. It's just awful. And then for the cops to just get to go up to the podium and give their heroic account and say, like, let's not forget the brave men and women who blah blah blah. And
the brave boys and girls, actually, because the men and women that were out there as cops, they weren't the brave ones. The bravery was those kids for however long they were in that room, because like they were trapped there and they had to endure that. And it's so upsetting.
I think
I just feel like what people 2 years ago is very discouraging. That I feel like we saw the largest mobilization of people at calling for a change in demand in the way that our country is policed, and that it went largely nothing. The only thing that changed was they made laws about you could run over protesters now. Mm-hmm. Like, every city in America had people out in the streets, and the lawmakers were like, man, look at these people. We should really, enact some change. What kind of change? I think we should be able to run them over, honestly. If they're in my way, I should get to clip them a little bit. And it's like, we've seen the laws that lawmakers are willing to go in and change. Brett Kavanaugh had people outside his house for a couple of nights, and there were lawmakers riding his dick and being like, we got to stop protesters from gathering outside of our houses. And they can make a law pretty quick.
It was a unanimous vote in the Senate.
Yeah. When you want to stop protesters from protesting in the streets, we can make a law that makes it legal for them to be run over pretty quickly. In the state of Utah, we voted one time that's where I live, by the way. We voted one time, the whole state overwhelmingly voted for medical marijuana. And you know what happened? It's like the next day that the House, the Senate, whatever convened, they passed a law that was like, actually, no, you can't have. And we were like, what? And they're like, yeah, no, we didn't like that you voted that way. And I was like, this is. So they can make laws whenever they want to. Mm-hmm. And they it's very obvious the things that they care about legislating and the things that they don't. But anyway, back to fucking police. The arguments that people were like, oh, you want to abolish the police? Well, then what are they going to do? Then what are you going to do when this happens? And when this happens? And when this happens?
Nothing.
And like, there's not a better example of when you would need this SWAT force. There's not a better example of when you would need all of this shit. and you fucking did nothing with it. You're absolutely useless to this community. You only exist to police us, to punish us, to put us in. You don't serve to protect us in any regard. And it's so very obvious with this one instance. And I hope that some people will change their mind and maybe think harder about just writing police departments a blank fucking check to protect us when the parents themselves probably would have done a better job. If no police had ever shown up on the scene, if it was just parents that got there, I think there is a chance that they might have had fewer casualties if they had all just rushed in and gone in unarmed, because that's more than what the cops did.
Mm-hmm. Right. If they just wanted somebody to come stand outside and wring their hands about being afraid to get shot, they could have called me. Like, I could have done that shit. But, like, it's all just so fucking warped that I cannot imagine even the first steps of the unfuckening. And speaking of, like, the people mobilizing for change in 2020, like, I got treated with more force by cops in riot gear at a protest where I was walking in the street unarmed than an active shooter got in a school.
Yeah.
Like, I got more brutal treatment, and it astounds me.
Well, I will say, you know, don't fret too much. There have been quite a few calls for the Department of Justice and the FBI to do an investigation into the police misconduct. And, oh, what's this I'm reading here? Joe Biden instead decided to praise the heroic actions of the police. So, you know what? I think it'll probably just keep getting worse as we learn more.
Wow, what the fuck, Joe Biden,
as
usual.
There will never be any accountability. So, you know what? I think that might be all. And Aaron, thank you. I know that was a lot of emotions there, but I appreciated your perspective, especially as a parent. So thank you for sharing that. Let's now talk about a slightly less depressing preventable tragedy, COVID-19.
Oh, another fan favorite.
You guys have COVID out there in Utah, Aaron?
I feel like it's died down, but it's around somewhere.
So
it's here somewhere.
This week we had on Wednesday over 200,000 reported cases. We're still averaging over 100,000 a day. I saw an NPR headline from this week. This is the fucking wildest shit I've ever read. The headline was, "The real COVID surge is much bigger than it looks, but don't panic." Who the fuck? Who signed off on that?
The cops that were waiting outside while a shooter killed.
Don't panic. Everything's fine.
Listen, we know there is an active shooter in the building and some of your children may be locked in the classroom, but don't panic.
We know there's an active pandemic here, but, you know, we're waiting for a key to unlock the vaccine. I don't know. Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, tested positive for COVID after 10 days after getting a second booster. So it's looking like the boosters, you know, it's looking like there is no avoiding it, even if you're getting boosted, which is fun stuff.
As long as you're not dying. I feel like I got it after I had gotten, you know, vaccinated and boosted. And it was like it was a pretty bad flu. Like, I can't remember last time I had a flu that bad, you know, but I didn't have to get put, you know, on a ventilator. And I guess that's the only thing that they're providing that's still, I don't want to die.
Statistically speaking, one out of every five people that has had COVID has developed long COVID or lingering COVID symptoms. So we're not just talking about like the people who didn't die, they just have this like bad flu. There are like lingering symptoms and effects that impact people's quality of life and overall health for the long term. So it's not just like, oh, I had a cold and now it's gone. Those things, that there are lingering symptoms and lingering physical impacts of COVID.
Yeah, and there was just a paper published this week in Nature Medicine that said vaccines essentially don't do anything to prevent long COVID. So, like, you know, again, it's this total like throwing us to the wolves as the American public. Like, it is what it is. You're going to either get it or you're not. But, you're on your own. Like,
Listen, pick
yourself up by your mask straps or whatever, you know?
If we're going to do capitalism, some babies are going to die. If we're going to have guns, there's going to be shootings. If we're going to do a pandemic, fuck your health.
Yeah.
It's just the price you pay for freedom.
Also, there's...
freedom ain't free, you know? They've been telling us.
Freedom costs a lot of dead people. Oh, boy. Also, there's been over 400 confirmed cases worldwide now of monkeypox. Have you heard anything about monkeypox, Aaron?
Yeah, when the first case came up, I remember seeing something.
Yeah, it's like, apparently, it doesn't spread... It's not necessarily respiratory. They think it spreads through sex. Or like physical contact, because a bunch of men, it's almost exclusively men that have tested positive for it. And so now they tried to frame it as like some kind of new gay plague, that it, you know, comes from homosexual sex. But like, there's like not really a lot of evidence to say that for certain. It's just like, there could be a potential new pandemic. Why don't we just say that it's only for gay people? Like, we can write this off.
Also, yeah. But like, conspiracy theory, mm-hmm. Maybe some like feminist feminist cell wanted to do like biological warfare. So they crafted a virus that only impacts men.
I like that idea. However, this week, the first woman tested positive in a confirmed case. So it's
damn it.
The plan almost worked.
Okay, but now what were her political affiliations? Because then she deserves it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. We got to keep track. We got to keep tabs on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's see, what else this week? Oh, we had some more elections. We had some primaries on Tuesday. Herschel Walker won down in Georgia. Herschel Walker, if you're not familiar, is he's anti-evolution. He thinks that racism doesn't exist because in the Bible, there's never any mention of black or white, only believers or non-believers. He's a former football champion, and he is a good friend of Donald Trump, and he's going to win for sure, because we just live in hell world. So we also had Henry Cuellar defeated Jessica Cisneros in a Texas congressional primary. Jessica Cisneros was running on like a, I don't know, progressive leftist platform. Henry Cuellar is the incumbent. He is the only pro-life anti-abortion Democrat. He is also under investigation by the FBI for corruption, and Nancy Pelosi went down and campaigned for him because they cannot give up any power to the progressives. And he won by about 100 votes. I think there was a few million dollars spent in that race. And
100 votes?
I think it was like 112 or 177, but yeah, out of like 40,000 votes.
There have been votes for class president that were swayed by, like, what?
Yeah. You know, and it sucks that, you know, the decent person lost, but it is wild that, you know, the Democrats, like the establishment, came within less than 200 votes of losing, even though they like threw everything they could at the race. You know, their power, if the country doesn't fall the fuck apart within the next 10 years, I think that it's a good sign that we'll be able to take some of the power away from the establishment. But unfortunately, 10 years, pretty optimistic.
You know what fucking, when I think about this election shit, like everybody talks about like, oh, this country, like it's, we're in this decline and there are so many reasons why it's a bad place to live and like whatever, whatever. And while I agree, at the same time, it's fucking self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, I know that not everybody did, but at some point we have to acknowledge that a majority of people are asking for this shit. Like it's going to hell, but it's going to hell because people want it. Like,
are you talking about like the people in power or like the average voter? Because I would argue that the average voter doesn't understand that like the system, the two-party system really only functions to protect capitalism. Like, there isn't most, I mean, and it's, you know, not to say that they have no fault for not looking into it, but like people have shit going on. They were raised with people that didn't teach them to question shit.
But when I'm talking about when we're talking about candidates that run on like an anti-abortion platform, or when we're talking about candidates that run on like an anti-LGBTQ platform, like people, like even if you don't understand how the system works and you're not questioning everything and digging into the details, if that information is available to you and you choose to vote for a person knowing that about them, we're asking for this collectively, like as a population.
Well, he didn't run on being anti-abortion. He ran on Jessica Cisneros as a communist that's going to destroy the Democratic Party. That's how those people win.
Okay,
like
okay.
He wasn't all caught up. He wasn't a Democrat out there saying we need to get rid of Roe v. Wade. He was saying this lady is a communist and she's gonna fuck your life up. Like they fucking trick people. Like, I don't know. But why is it
that the only like bipartisan initiative the government can ever manage is like, well, communism is bad. And then they're all like, Oh, we agree on that.
Yeah, I'll agree.
We came across the aisle to agree that communism is bad.
I would say it's potentially because communism might be the only thing that could defeat capitalism. But hey, who knows? What were you going to say, Aaron?
I think about this a lot. But this week, the what I keep thinking... Just as the discussion re-arises about what's the problem with school shootings, I wonder, like, you know, what is it, man? I think guns are a problem, and they're like, you know, mentally ill teenagers shouldn't have access to assault rifles. But I also feel like there's something else, like there's something wrong with these boys, right? Why I'm like willing to ask these questions, like why, what is it? But when they say it's mental health, they say, when are we going to say like, what if maybe it wasn't a good idea to build an entire, culture on profits over everything? Like maybe that is, the root cause of a lot of our social decay. Maybe it's because we don't pray in schools anymore. You know, maybe that's it. But
sorry, I didn't stand for
going to ask another question. Are we ever going to ask, like, is there a better way? Are we just going to say capitalism is it? We love it forever, in spite of like all the problems that we face, that we stare at every day as a country, that are caused by capitalism. We still are like so terrified of the word communism. We're like, oh my God, not a communist. And you're like, dog, have you seen capitalists lately? Why are you so scared? It's not.
Right. Like we're already in, people are already facing like, lack of access to resources, and there's a major problem of resource hoarding. And I don't understand, like, some of the people who are so afraid of communism also don't have shit. And I'm like, how are you afraid that somebody's going to come and take your not shit? And like, you're going to somehow have less shit. Like, this is a plan for you to have more shit also.
I think it's all part of this, like, I don't want to say a plan, because I don't think that this was something that people like consciously sat down and wrote out and like figured out how to do. But like everything in American culture and media for all of our lives and for a generation before our lives, it's all built around individualism. If you don't have something, it's because of your actions, your choices. And like, that shit isn't something you can just tell someone it's not true and they'll believe you. Because it's like baked into our fucking brains to the point that like it's like a cult almost of this individualist thinking that, you know, every man for himself, pick yourself up by the bootstraps. The reason that people don't are unwilling to even question capitalism is because they think that the reason they're not doing well is because of their own choices. Like they don't understand that there are systemic things that are holding them down. And you can't just tell somebody that whenever that's like asking them to a question and trying to get them to answer in a language they don't speak. Like there's no framework for this understanding unless you like, you have to do work. And I'm not saying nobody, like, it's nobody, like, oh, if you didn't do the work,
you're
fine.
There needs to be a mass re-education.
Yeah, and there's just, like, there's no force big enough to do it that will do it, because it's not going to be profitable. You know, it would take a couple, like, wildly magnanimous billionaires to be like, okay, we're going to put everything we can into fucking fixing the way that people think, because it would take a lot of resources, like billions and billions of dollars. And there's none of the people that have that to give are going to give it, because we're coming for them if we get enough people involved. So it's like a self fucking, it's like a closed loop where, you know, the people that need to understand this stuff the most are the ones that are most convinced that this is evil stuff, and it just keeps growing, and, you know, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer, and everybody thinks, oh, if I could just get, you know, win the fucking lottery, I'll be able to buy a house. You know, it's a bad system.
Right. Because the problem isn't that anybody, like a huge portion of people aren't processing that, like, this is a system that needs to be like, it's a system that they feel like they need to win against, mm-hmm. but rather than thinking like the way that we beat this system is actually to like beat it to death, it's that they like they think that they're going to win, they want to beat the system by winning it.
Yeah,
like, oh well, like this is terrible, but when I eventually do all the right things to have $1 million, it will have all been worth it.
Yeah,
rather than like I need to band together with all these other people who will never have access to $1 million and then ruin it.
I do want to say that, like, individualism as American mm-hmm. culture, big part of it. And there are some pros to it. That's stuff that I think that you like and you want to engineer whatever. That's okay, great. I definitely think that the individualism is a huge part of school shootings. And I told you, I was like, if we do this story first, man, it's all I'm going to talk about for the rest of the thing. But it's the Joker conversation about, like, mm-hmm. why do these young men feel so alienated? And it's like, we kind of have an alienating culture, man. Like, we don't foster senses of community besides, like, I don't know, like jingoist nationalism, maybe in like a general sense. You know, after 9/11, we all got flags on our porches, but like, there's not, we don't really care about a sense of community in this country. We, like, you know, you saw that just in this pandemic. There wasn't like one cooperative, coordinated response. Everyone was like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what I want to do, and fuck you. And that's a huge part of why we're all so isolated. And you've got young men that feel alienated and isolated because they live in late stage capitalism, and it's really, really easy for racists and fascists to pick up those kids and fill their brains with rotten, mean garbage. And because they've been raised to be individuals. Yeah. Oh yeah. And then they're like, oh wow, this is where I belong. This does mm-hmm. feel, this does feel good, doesn't it? But
And like, it with a lot of these things, like, I think that, you know, it's impossible to fucking say, you know, even like trying to fucking with hindsight, but like, I feel like with this kid or with a lot of these shooters, like, a single social worker could have probably done a lot more than dozens and dozens of cops, because, like, it's just that, you know, when people get isolated, it starts like, so, like, it's, again, it's like a closed loop. Whenever they start being weird in school and then people like pick on them or whatever, then they get more mad, they get more weird. And then, like, it's just like they get angrier, they get more bitter. And then they
talk about my life like that. Okay.
I'm also
of all,
talking about my life, but
yeah,
I found punk rock whenever I was a teenager and it saved my life. So
yeah, I just,
not just social workers. Not just social workers, but imagine, like, so much of this police budget going to the community, mm-hmm. and what would the community do with all this money? And I'd be like, they're going to have way more community activities. You're going to have clubs that you can sponsor and sweat. There's going to be places for kids to go and find more friends. There's going to be resources for them to, like, do things after school. And there's lots of stuff that we could do with this money, but we just buy tanks. We just buy tanks with it and
the police
roll
exist.
Them out anytime there's a protest.
The police exist to punish, not to protect.
Right.
So let's talk about Joe Biden. Have you heard of Joe?
Yeah, fuck this guy, man.
I don't, fuck him. Yeah,
I'm sorry. I don't know anyone by the name. I know a John Brandon. Is that the same guy?
You know Brandon. Okay.
Yeah, I know Brandon.
Yeah, no, he's the same guy.
Oh, cool.
So our big president boy, Brandon, he did a tour in Asia this week. Like, he went over and, like, met with a bunch of our Asian allies. He gave a speech in Japan where he was talking about Taiwan, and this fucking idiot said the words that if China invaded Taiwan, that we would respond militarily, which is
that's like a Donald Trump thing to say.
We've had like a 45-year policy of never committing to anything like that. And Joe Brandon, fucking melting brain ice cream head, goes up there and is like, yeah, no, we'd intervene. It's like, you just told China you'd fight them. That's a bad move.
You just fucking idiot. Took your shirt off and said, come at me, bro. What the fuck, Joe Biden?
Yeah, so immediately all of his aides had to like walk it back. I'm like, whoa, that's not what he meant. That's not what he meant. It's wild. He also unveiled a new U.S.-Asia trade deal after Trump got rid of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I didn't look into none of this shit makes any sense to me, but like, I guess it's not as strict as the TPP was, but then it's also like, I don't know. It's all fucking just serving capitalism. I don't anytime a couple governments get together and make a deal, I'm like, I know that this isn't going to help me. This is going to help the people who pay you to run campaign ads to get reelected. So go fuck yourself. He also told our Asian allies that they need to join us in the fight for Ukraine. So I don't know. I've been having a hard time following the Ukraine stuff. I don't even have anything to really say about it other than fuck it. Somebody said on a podcast this week I was listening to that, you know, with the presence of some Nazi factions in the Ukraine military, the fact that we're giving them so much money to try and defeat Russia is like the exact thing we did with the Taliban in Afghanistan in the 70s when they were fighting Russia. Like,
yep,
we armed the Taliban. It was in the movie Rocky 3. That was like the plot of the movie. Or
yeah. And,
or Rambo. I don't know. But yeah. So like in 20 years, will Ukraine people do a 9/11? Hard to say, but it's not looking good. Seems short-sighted at the very least.
Learn from the past. We're like, but you know, it might work for us this time.
Well, I think the problem was whenever we armed the Taliban, we didn't give them enough guns. We're not making that mistake again. We're giving you...
That was the lesson that we took from it.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You know what we need, though, is more guns. That's our answer for everything.
You know what, China? If you invade Taiwan, we are going to send a battalion of armed elementary school teachers to fuck you up.
There we go. Also, this week, Joe Biden announced his official plan to cancel $10,000 of student debt for loan holders that make less than $150,000 a year. Now, $10,000 on average is not enough. That's like covering half of the interest that most people owe on their loans. So it's like it's just enough that it will piss off all the people that say you shouldn't forgive student debt. Everybody should pay off their own debt. But it will also piss off all of the people that get it, because it's like a laughably small fucking dent, drop in their bucket. Joe Biden is the worst president yet.
The Democrats are committed to making sure no one likes them.
Yeah.
We don't want anyone to be happy. And there's something democratic in that. They're like, no one will be happy. We'll all be unhappy together. It's a good plan.
So our next story, this was the news the morning before the shooting. So like, I almost like completely forgot about it till I was going back. I look at like day by day news breakdowns to do the notes. There was an ISIS plot to kill George W. Bush. Did you guys see this?
What?
What?
So there was an Iraqi man who was busted by the FBI after informants ratted him out, confidential informants, blah, blah, blah. His plan, he was going to smuggle four other Iraqis across the Mexican border and dress them up as law enforcement and assassinate George W. Bush. Apparently, his motivation was revenge, as he holds George W. Bush responsible for the deaths of a million Iraqis in the Iraq War. Now, I hate to say something that might get me visited by the FBI, but I feel like he kind of had a point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I get it. You're going to do what you're going to do. It's whatever. But like, I've heard a lot of terrorism plots. I've never heard of one that I could say is like, yeah, that's pretty justified.
Yeah, because like, that's actually not a terrorism plot. That's an assassination plot. And like,
yeah,
you know different. What they say about when you assassinate, you make an ass out of, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Out of Inate.
Yeah. Oh, his name was Inate. Never mind.
This is at that event that was the attempt going to be at whatever he was speaking at when he did this, like, did you see his like flub?
Oh, no. I don't think it was. I think, and it's hard to tell because like there's sometimes the FBI will like find somebody and then like basically the FBI will come up with the whole plan and then arrest the person who agreed to it. Like that's
right.
Do you remember there was the story about the there was a plot to kidnap the governor of Minnesota?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, uh-huh. Like if you looked into that, like a few weeks after it came out, like the FBI orchestrated the whole thing and then just arrested right. the people that were like, okay, I guess we'll do that. Like, so
it sucks.
It's possible that this Iraqi man could have just like fallen into that trap. It's also possible that he could have genuinely wanted to kill George W. Bush because a million of his countrymen also got murdered as a result of the Iraq war.
And he's standing up there and admitting it. He was like an illegal war in Iraq. Ukraine. And then they all just giggled about it. I would assassinate him too, man.
Fuck yeah. So I was thinking about this too. Like, do you remember the one the guy threw his shoes at George W. Bush?
Yeah, of course. Iconic.
He's older now. I bet you he couldn't dodge it as quick as he could. If anybody out there is wearing shoes and happens to see George W. Bush, I am now on an FBI watch list. God damn it.
it would be so funny if people threw shoes at him wherever he went.
Yeah.
It'd be really great.
I think everybody should throw shoes at a lot more politicians. I should probably not be saying
this. We've had good guy with a gun. We've had religious guy with a chair. I'm waiting for a rude dude with a shoe.
Yeah, there was a mass shooting at a church last week, and the pastor, whenever the guy went to reload, hit him with the chair, and only one person was killed. And I was like, we need more good guys with chairs. That was a bad joke I told last week. I managed to also tell this week.
You know, the power of Christ compels you and all that.
Why don't you have a seat?
sit down and pray with us.
I've got a couple somewhat good news stories, but I want to talk about, before we get to those, I found what I think is an even worse story than the, you know, unarguable tragedy that was the Uvalde mass shooting.
Inarguable.
Well, no. Some could argue that. I saw a story that... The United Nations, not necessarily a friend of the pod.
Frenemy, I'd say.
A frenemy. You know, we like some of their work. It's a lot of times they just seem like a conference of people who live in every country that they don't really do anything. You know,
it's like a family reunion. They just get together to like talk shit about each other and then say we should do this again sooner.
The United Nations this week released a report called the Global Assessment Report on Disaster Risk Reduction. The framework that they used for this report is a set of social, economic, legal, political, and institutional measures to determine what they call the planetary boundaries, which is the space within Earth's systems that allow human life to safely exist. So, there are 9 of these boundaries, and 4 of them are currently operating above what they say is the safe limit. Land system changes, climate change, biochemical flows, and novel entities, which are things like man-made materials, like heavy metals and shit. All of these are operating outside of what is supposedly safe for humans to live within the boundaries of. There's 2 more, ocean acidification and fresh water use, that are approaching their respective boundaries. And so the result of this is a disruption of both human and natural systems that kind of create a self-reinforcing feedback loop that the United Nations calls, and I'm not making this up, quote, a global societal collapse, end quote.
Yay!
The United Nations did a whole fucking lot of research, and their fucking conclusion was, oh, this whole fucking planet's about to fall apart. Now, the good news is, according to this report, they said that this is not an inevitable outcome. It was very careful to say that all of these boundaries are capable of being mitigated and controlled. All it will take is a bit of action on the part of global leaders.
Oh, damn it. Our one weakness.
Well, then we're
our
fucked.
Our one weakness, doing anything.
We would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you meddling global leaders.
Yeah, so like basically it's like there's just like different ways you can measure like what the bounds of things are. And they're like, hey, every different system is like all approaching this like this threshold that like once one thing fails, everything else will start like cascading. And there's like they didn't say there's nothing that we can do, but they did kind of say that there's nothing we will do. So I was like, you know, the best way to stop mass shootings is to let everybody die from other reasons. There will be no mass shootings once human life is extinct.
That's true.
We are a solutions podcast.
Listen, I don't feel comfortable with this because I know my rights and I do not exist to die of natural causes. It is my American right to be fucking shot to death.
Yeah.
And the UN is just out here trying to infringe.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they're just trying to, they're trying to destroy the American, these communist world leaders, the global elites are trying to say, no, 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 Americans, you're not going to die in a mass shooting. You're going to die whenever the ocean catches on fire somehow.
Again.
Fuck. It's bad to use a unreasonable sounding example of something that would probably never happen and then be like, oh, wait, no, that happened.
Oh, wait, that did happen. Yeah, I remember.
I remember.
Yeah, so the world is fucked. We're fucked. But hey, you know what? We're going to keep doing
this. My world's on fire. How about yours? That's the way I like it. I'll never get bored.
Fuck yeah. So we got a couple... I don't know. This first one, I wouldn't say it's necessarily a good news story, but you'll see why I'm bringing it up. This week, a California man pleaded guilty to stalking, cyber harassment, and sextortion, which he was like meeting women on social media, getting them to send him nudes, and then threatening to send those nudes to their families and their coworkers and shit if they didn't comply with his requests.
Okay.
I say that it's good news because I'm pretty sure that this happens every single day, like to thousands of women all the time. And I have never once heard of somebody getting in trouble for it.
True.
It's one of those things that's like, obviously it should be a crime, but I didn't know that there was actually like a way to prosecute it. And
there are like revenge porn laws and like that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess it's extortion and whatnot, but it was again, like I've never heard of something. I've heard so many times women tell me stories about this happening. I've never heard of once of somebody being like, yeah, no, the guy got in trouble for it. So
interesting.
Yeah. He faces up to 5 years in prison for each offense. So there's like, I couldn't find an exact number of women, but there's definitely multiple women. So I don't know. Good news. Okay. I've got one story that I think is officially, unambiguously good news, and we can close out on this.
Nice.
This week, in a bay off the northwest coast of Mexico, a whale-watching boat that was operating without a license and getting too close to the whales, they fucked around and found out. A juvenile humpback whale breached the water, like whenever the whales jump out, and landed directly on the boat.
Dang.
They were getting too close and like trying to fuck with the whale to get him to come up to the surface. And the whale said, fuck y'all, jumped out of the water and just smashed the boat. All four of the people on the boat were injured. One of the women had like a broken leg. The boat fucking wrecked. And yeah, this whale just swam away. Experts are unsure if it was intentional, but I like to believe it was.
Yeah, I like to think it was.
He was like, I'm going to Moby Dick these assholes. Watch.
You're take about you to down. Get dick down by a sperm whale. That's Moby Dicked.
Moby Dick down by a sperm whale. Well, took a while, but we got an episode title. Oh, also Kevin Spacey was charged with sexual assault in the UK. Isn't that fun? That motherfucker was guilty like 5 years ago, and he's just now facing some fucking repercussions. So the only thing that's sad about that is that we won't get any more of those weird videos he posts on Twitter on Christmas. Ooh.
Oh, you think he's going to let that stop him? He's going to do it.
Yeah, so I don't know. Some good news, some bad news. We're all going to die, but who knows how it's going to be. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
It was really... I was going to say it was really fun. It was fun sometimes. It was emotional other times. You know, I'm glad you were here. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
You're welcome.
To meet you. Do you have anything you would like to plug?
Yeah, man. If you live near Salt Lake, I'm performing at Handlebar at the end of June. If you live in Boise, I'm performing in that area a few nights at the end of July. You guys watch what you heard about Under the Banner of Heaven, the Andrew Garfield Hulu show?
No. What's that about?
Oh, it's about like a cult town murders stuff.
Oh, so
anyway, nice. I'm going to that town. I'm going to Under the Banner town in September. I'm doing Montana in October.
I thought you were going to say that you were on that show, but you just talked
no,
about...
No, he's in that cult.
yeah, I'm in the cult. I'm joining. I'm signing up. I'm going to go check it out and see what it's all about. I just booked a show in that town. And I was like, isn't this the Hulu murder show town? And they were like, yeah, that's us. And I was like, all right, cool, man.
Fuck yeah. Where can people find you on social media if they want to get those dates?
I think probably if you like Instagram, check out the Aaron Space Museum. That's
love
my Instagram
it.
Handle.
Love that handle.
Thank you. And then on Twitter, it's just Aaron Woodall 14. On both platforms, just search Aaron Woodall. You'll probably find me.
Hell yeah. Or click the link to the show notes.
Nice.
Fuck yeah. I'll drop it in there. I could do some
thank
of this.
You.
I'm not a great podcaster, but I'm a sufficient podcaster. I know how to drop the notes. Deanna, do you have anything you'd like to direct people towards?
You know, every day so many of us wake up and think, I do not want to be out here fucking around. But that story about the boat reminded me that the alternative to fucking around is finding out. And honestly, I'm a pussy and I really don't want to fucking find out. So if you, like me, are also a pussy, then I guess I'll see you out there fucking around.
And hopefully not finding out. Or if you happen to, maybe somebody gets it on video. There is video of this whale smashing this boat too. I'll post it on our Twitter. You can find me at Andrew Hillary US. You can find the show at Worst Week Yet. Go to patreon.com/worstweekyet to support the show. Send us emails, worstweekyet@gmail.com. And more important than all that motherfucking bullshit, tune in again next week for more bad news.